Well, are you? Are you prepared? Are you all ready? Prepare for what? Well, that is a typical response we will receive if we ask some random person who is not aware of what is coming in the next couple of weeks, which for us baptized members of the Church of God will be partaking of, which is one of the most important evenings of the year, that is a Passover service. Now, we understand what is coming and how we need to prepare, or how we have already been preparing, spiritually speaking, in the process. Well, physically, maybe not already, but maybe we are early starters, let's say, process of de-leavening our homes, symbolizing the removal of sin in our lives for the Days of Unleavened Bread, which will be occurring then following the Passover. Now, we may be thinking about this already in our minds and slowly preparing for it, spiritually speaking, but physically as well. I don't know if you've been shopping lately and you're already thinking, okay, we're not going to get any more bread, not going to get any more anything else with leavening, and we are slowly eating more and more of our leavened products as the days are getting closer. But anyway, no matter what, this all takes preparation. But this shouldn't be the only time we need to prepare ourselves. Yes, we're focused on this time that is coming up, but there's a lot of more preparation involved. We constantly need to be prepared for everything we do in our lives, like getting ready in the morning before we go to work or before we go to school, preparing for a test, preparing a meal, getting ready for bed. Many simple, everyday tasks that involve preparation. The ability for me to give this message involves preparation as well, especially if you are asked to give it a little bit earlier than as planned, so you have to prepare even quicker. I thought to myself what I would do to prepare for this sermon, and I thought that the idea of talking about preparation would be appropriate, especially in light of what is just before us. And this involves everyone in God's church, so I know that I am not alone in this. Now, there are only a few weeks left to prepare for the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread, meaning that we must physically, once again, de-leaven our houses, and examine ourselves spiritually before we take the Passover to see where we are in relation to God and His way of life. Again, this is something that we need to do on a continuous basis throughout the year, really every day, having that in our mindset. But there is a lot more to it than just that, because keeping a Days of Unleavened Bread symbolizes living a sinless life. And we have to be prepared at all times for the unexpected, especially now, since the time is getting closer and closer to Christ's return. But we do have a general idea of what to expect, and that is why we must be free from sin. The book of Revelation is a book of prophecy, which hasn't come to pass yet. And it is really scary when you think about what is prophesied and what we read about in this book and what is going to happen on this earth. Now, much of what I'm going to be speaking about today are things that we have already been hearing about lately anyway, what we talk about on a yearly basis, but it never hurts to go over it again and to review what is said in the Bible, because we really need to have this embedded in our minds. If we start in Revelation chapter 6, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, we read about the heavenly signs, the sixth seal. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Earthquakes is something that we have gone through, that we have personally witnessed, and something that comes upon us unexpectedly. Something comes upon us suddenly. And we're going to be seeing earthquakes more and more in the future, and they are going to get worse and worse, as we read about here. So this earthquake, the sun became black, the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now that is one serious catastrophe right there. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, all these people that people look up to in this world, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. There is nobody on this earth who is powerful enough to stand for this. And, verse 16, said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? That is going to be quite a time as Christ is returning to this earth, and there is nobody on the face of this earth that could stand to that. There's nobody powerful enough, no human being would be able to survive if Christ doesn't intervene. Going further in chapter 8, and verse 7, we see about things that are happening to this world at that time, in the near future. The first angel sounded, hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Again, we have witnessed fires. You know, during the fire season, we have, and I'll be going into that more, personally have gone through that. And just imagine this, though, a third of the world being burned up. That's a lot. We haven't gone through that yet. Verse 8, and that's just the beginning. Verse 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. This is something we see in movies, when a big meteorite comes and hits the earth. This is going to happen. Verse 9, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Again, a small taste of what we have already seen in history. You know, even hearing about sea animals dying, even with war, how we see a lot of the ships that were destroyed. But we're talking about, once again, a third of this. Verse 10, a third angel sounded, and the great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of a star is Wormwood, which is possibly another meteorite, or it could possibly be a man-made bomb, and we know about this, and we know how many nuclear weapons are around the world, or maybe we don't even know the full extent of it, but there are a lot, and of course, if they all go off at one time, that's it for the earth. But that time that is coming is going to be a very destructive time. Again, a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then verse 12, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Now, there's going to be a large population of people going through these events on earth. A scary time to think about. Now, does that refer to everybody? The only way that we can be saved is through God and God alone. No man can do that for us. No one, no mighty man, no rich man, no powerful man on this earth can save us from what is coming. Only God can. And that is why we have a critical part to do. If we want to be protected during this time in the place of safety that God has prepared, we hope and pray that we are among those who are faithful and who have been obedient in keeping God's laws continuously, keeping the Sabbath day, the holy days, for example, what is coming up here, Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread. All the things that have been here from the very beginning that has not changed, for we are continuously doing this in obedience to Him. Now, notice Revelation chapter 12 and verse 13. Which speaks about the church being persecuted, what will also happen during that time. When the dragon, that is Satan, saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, that is the church, who gave birth to the male child, that is Christ. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, which is a place of safety, where she is nourished or protected for a time and times and half a time, referring to 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. So just as we have to prepare for what is coming, God has also prepared a place of protection for those who are faithful. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. In other words, an army that is sent after the church. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There are those who will be left behind, who are going to war against them, who do keep the commandments. Sure, there's plenty of people who keep the commandments, but are they actually doing them? Let's say they know about the commandments, but are they really faithfully doing them who are calling themselves Christians? Now that brings us to a question. Are we strong in the church? And I mean spiritually speaking. That is strong-minded, strong-willed. And there is a dangerous warning for those who take this lightly, who take this as a lackadaisical approach. And we know about the lukewarm church. We read about that in Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22. And this is a time that we are in right now as well. To the Laodiceans, verse 14, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing, do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Sure, there are a lot of wealthy people out there, powerful, mighty, rich, but even we're talking about strictly here now in the church. Taking for granted, let's say, that you have God's protection, but then you're not putting the work into it. You know, that's a dangerous attitude right there to have. And we can get easily distracted and be in this category if we're not careful. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. What is more important than being physically rich? That is being spiritually rich. Anointing our eyes with eye salves, that you may see spiritually what's going on. What's going on around us. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. And this is something that will never or should never go away. We always need to be zealous. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Verse 20, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And action is always involved in everything we do in our lives. An action to prepare, for example. That is why it is very important to be a part of God's church and to do what God commands us to do. If we want to be saved and prepared, we have to watch and be aware of what is happening in this world and also in the church. And there is certainly a lot of crazy stuff happening. We read about it every week in the update. Really, some crazy things happening in the world right now. That is continuously happens. And we need to be ready for Christ's return. That also involves preparation. Matthew chapter 25. Something I believe I alluded to last time. If not, I had before. Matthew 25 in verse 1. These parables here that were given at the time of Christ had a very significant reason for what is happening or happening in the future, and really something that we should be taking seriously or personally anyway. Matthew 25, verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who are purified through Christ's blood, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and the other 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, which was referring to God's word, and took no oil with them, referring to God's spirit. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they slept. Oh, Christ is not returning yet. So we still have time to do this. We still have time to do that. Let's finish this bucket list or whatever you want to call it. Whatever you want to do in life. So you start to neglect, you start to forget about, or you kind of put that in the back burner of what's going on. But if we keep reading, at midnight, which is the darkest time where everybody is asleep anyway, you wouldn't expect it, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Ah, all of a sudden they wake up and they realize they don't have oil that they need. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. The ability to enter God's kingdom for those who are already prepared. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12, but he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. You can tie this parable right here with what we have already read in Revelation 3. When it came to the Laodicean church. You know, they were aware of what is coming, but they weren't ready yet. When that time comes, will we be ready to go where God tells us to go? When that time comes, will we be strong enough, possibly even leaving everything behind, our material possessions, our friends, even our families. You know, there are examples of individuals in the Bible who had to prepare to evacuate, and they had to be ready. They had plenty of warning. They had specific instructions by God to do exactly what was commanded. They did have a choice whether or not to listen. But they also had to have the faith. The first example was Noah. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generations. The only man at this time who obeyed God, as we read about in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Now, since he was the only one at that time, he really must have felt alone, right? And you know what? Sometimes we may think that way as well. Thinking that we are alone, there's nobody else out there that's going through the problems that we go through. But God gave a specific command to make an ark in the middle of a desert. At the hottest time, it hasn't been rain there for who knows how long. Because God was going to flood the whole earth. Now, if God was going to tell you something like that, what would be your initial reaction? Or would you kind of reason with him, try to tell him, well, what sense does that make? I mean, you know, we read about plenty of examples of individuals who tried to reason with God. You know, but God had a specific purpose and a plan in mind. Now, God had told them specifically how to build this ark and what to take in the ark, verses 14 through 22. And, you know, I think about at that time, you think about today with technology and everything, how to build something and you have everything done by with machines. I mean, think about that. At that time, there were no machines. Everything was with hand. To build something so enormous. And we heard in the sermonette, it could take about a year to build a house. Well, it did not take a year to build an ark. I mean, God had a plan that was going to take several years, so had to stick with it. I mean, I got to talk about faith. Now, Noah obviously had incredible faith, and he did what God commanded him to do. And if Noah had not done this, then we wouldn't be here today. You know, Noah understood a great responsibility that he had to save mankind, let's say. And it only took one man and his family. And we have to be like Noah and do exactly what God commands us to do, or else there will be no hope for mankind and what the overall potential of man is. Think of it personally, like I said. Put yourself in that situation, like we are the only ones in this whole world, and God is telling us what to do here. Now, God did save Noah, and he gave us another chance. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Quickly read that. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Started over with Noah. And through him, that's how God had blessed him. Abraham was also given a command and a promise in chapter 12 and verse 1 of Genesis. Genesis 12 and verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. This involved preparation. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Here is a promise that God gave to Abraham. A promise of blessing, a promise of protection. Now, Abraham's grandson Lot was also given a command to prepare for evacuation, since the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, where he lived, would be destroyed because of all the wickedness of the people, which we do read about in Genesis chapter 19, verse 12 through 19. Genesis 19, verse 12. The men said to Lot, who were the angels that God had sent, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law he seemed to be joking. or joking. Of course, when you're in such a city, when you have spent there so long and you are blinded by sin, by everything that is going on, he didn't really take him seriously. Now here, this was very blunt, it was very specific, as God was telling Lot, you know, the angels there. So Lot knew what he had to be doing. Now, we probably haven't had an experience like that, told to leave our town, leave where we grew up, and move somewhere. You know, we haven't had anything so specific, but here we're talking about a very specific thing. But we've gone through something like that in our lives too. And we could see why. Maybe we didn't understand it right away. Lot actually had a good idea, obviously, what was happening here. He didn't understand that. So verse 15, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, he was not quite ready to leave yet. The men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." A specific command again. Lot said to them, "Please no, my lords." See, here's Lot trying to reason. The angels reasoning with God, really, to not let this happen. But God had this already set, and nothing was going to change. Indeed, now, verse 19, "Your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die." And, you know, even whatever specific plan that God had for Lot and his family or whatever to escape, there was still doubt. And we read about that many times throughout the Bible, where doubt still crept in despite all the miracles that God had provided. He still had doubt. He still feared that something would happen to him. Will we react this way when the time comes when we will have to evacuate and go where God tells us to go? Now, the outcome of Lot's wife was not so good. As we continue to read in verse 20, "See, now the city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow the city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Why would she look back? She was used to a city like this. To her, all the sin, all the corruption, everything that was going on in the city wasn't a big deal to her. She wanted to go back to that way of life, something that she was used to. And this right here is a very dangerous thought process, and dangerous thinking. And think back again to Laodicean era in Revelation 3, this era that is we're still going through right now. Being too content with what the world has to offer is dangerous. She didn't want to get let go of the world. Sad reality is, there will be a few of us that won't evacuate, let's say, or won't be ready when that time comes. Not everyone will be chosen for the place of safety. But there will also be specific people that God has chosen to fulfill his purpose in preaching the gospel during the Great Tribulation, who will be given powers and responsibilities, the two witnesses, for example, along with faithful saints who will be assisting them at that time. Again, this is something that God has already planned, has already chosen these individuals who will stay behind to assist them. But again, God has this all in control. There's no need to worry about that. There's no need to fear that. The only thing we can fear really is ourselves. Because if we do not obey God, then we have a problem. So the rest for God's people, this is why we have to make sure we are always obedient, faithful, prepared for Christ's return. Moses was also given a specific command by God to free Israel from Egypt in Exodus 3 and verse 7. Exodus 3 and verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from the land, to do a good to a good large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. So come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. If you were given a task like that to do, what would be your initial reaction? Would it be the same reaction that Moses had? At first, Moses didn't have all the faith and the confidence that he could do what God commanded. But again, God made up his mind that it would be Moses that would do this job. And there was nothing that Moses could do to get himself out of it. Who else was in that situation? We heard about that recently. Jonah, who tried to flee from God, but that didn't work. He knew after the great fish swallowed him up, spit him back out, that it was God trying to tell him something. If God commands us to do something, we better do it or else there will be consequences. We can't hide. We can't run away from God. God will do whatever it takes for us to wake up. If we're going down a wrong path and something happens in our life, God will find a way to wake us up. God has already predestined and chosen us from the very beginning to do his purpose. Yes, we still have a choice to make. That is true. But if God already has chosen us for a specific purpose, he's going to make sure that we do what he wants us to do. Back to the story of Moses. God had assured Moses continually that he would be with him the whole time. God is very merciful. God is with Moses, even with all the excuses that he would come up with to not be the one to do this job. And as the story goes, Moses went to Egypt, showed miraculous signs to Pharaoh, and after the 10 plagues that God bestowed on Egypt, Pharaoh finally let the people go free. Now, the 10th plague was during the time the Passover was instituted, followed by the days of leavened bread. In Exodus 12, verses 14 through 20. And I'm not really going to go into this in detail because I'm sure we're going to be hearing about this in the near future, in the next couple weeks. But this here, of course, is at that time of the Old Testament, and many will come to the conclusion saying now, oh, we don't have to do this anymore. We don't have to keep this, but that's not what it says. In verse 24, you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. That has not changed. Neither should we. Verse 42, referring to the night to be much observed, a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations, which is what we are still going to be doing in the next few weeks that are coming up. Observing what God has commanded us to do. This right here is a preparation every year for us to keep. And we have to prepare for this. And we also must be prepared to participate in the Passover ceremony, as it says in verse 48. When a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. Of course, referring now, spiritually speaking, with those who are baptized. Now, somebody else who had to prepare for evacuation, or let's say prepare to flee, was Christ. He was with his parents from King Herod after Christ was born. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Now, there could have been various different ways for this not to have happened, but it was also a test, you know, on Joseph to obey God, you know, for Jesus Christ's sake. Notice how people are always being used for a specific purpose. Now, they had to wait in Egypt for a little while until Herod was dead, since he was out to kill Christ in Bethlehem, verse 19. Of chapter 2, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead." So he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in the dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." It's interesting how things fall together. What was fulfilled? Obviously something that was already predicted long ago, that this would happen. And if God predicts it, and it is prophesied to happen, it will happen. The book of Revelation. It's prophesied to happen. It will happen. There will be a time again when we, just like Israel, will have to be saved out of this world. But we have to respond to God's calling starting now, continuously. Why wait till, I'm not going to do this yet. No, I'm not going to wait to get serious until later when things really start happening. You can't go by that, because we individually have to be prepared for the coming of Christ. We read about the fall of Babylon the Great, which is a political, religious, economic power at the end time, at the time where the unimaginable and terrible events will take place. Notice Revelation chapter 18, verses 4 and 5. Revelation 18 and verse 4. "I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities.'" This could be talking to us. You know, we could be caught up with the rest of the world if we are not careful. Remember who the god of this world is. I mean, Satan is not unintelligent by any means. He's a lot smarter than we think. And that is why we have to always be vigilant, always have to be ready for everything that is coming. When that time comes, we have to make sure that we are spiritually ready, because we are not going to have the time to prepare all our physical belongings for evacuation, let's say. There are some things that we must consider at that time. Notice Mark chapter 13 and verse 14. Mark 13 and verse 14, beginning in verse 14. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in the winter. For in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. If anyone says to you, look, here is a Christ, or look, here he is, do not believe it. Because there are false Christs, false prophets who will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, talking about those in the church. Don't fall for this stuff. Take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. A warning. Told us what to expect, what is to come. But, of course, we do not know exactly when this will happen, when this time will be, as we see in verse 32. Of that day and hour, nobody knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Just like with everything else, it's God's decision when he decides when this is going to happen. When he decides what kind of a purpose that we have in his plan. Verse 33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house, gave authority to his servants and to each his work, commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming in the evening, at midnight, once again, at the darkest time, at a time you do not expect, at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning. We have no idea specifically that it is. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. Always think back to what we read about in Revelation 3. The lackadaisical, the lukewarm, those who think they are ready but are not. Those who think they have time, they don't, who are not very serious when that time is going to come. Verse 37, what I say to you, I say to all. Everybody is in the same boat here. We have to watch. Always have to be ready, spiritually prepared. I'm sure a lot of us have already had a small taste of what it is like to prepare for an evacuation, especially of those who have evacuated due to fires like we have in the past. And just recently, a lot of our members too, in Colorado, you know, I mean, us here in San Diego, I think it's really anybody that had to evacuate, leaving their houses for some kind of a reason. And a lot of it having to do with fires, but maybe now floods, or even with the crazy snowstorms, or whatever it may be. But going through an evacuation, your mind, your thinking changes. It's amazing how when you're in a situation like that, how personal possessions don't seem as important as they normally would be. But the most important thing that we do think about is surviving, especially if it's a sudden evacuation. And there could be several other situations where we might not have much time to react. Something that's very sudden is an earthquake. You do not have time to put all your belongings together when an earthquake is happening. What do you do at that moment? The first thing that comes to mind, seek shelter. Protect yourself. Everything else is secondary, right? Immediate reaction, again, to seek cover, Now, there are other various emergencies that could also happen, or when you are put on the spot, where you would have to think fast. Think and act fast. In a circumstance like those, we need to have the faith that God is with us. Sometimes it could be easy not to even think about God at that moment, or not even thinking about praying at a moment like that. But we cannot do that. In every situation that we are in, think to God, pray to God that he will protect us and he will save us and he will give us the answers that we need when we are in a situation which is vital. And that is why it is vital that we are close to God and have him in our lives at all times, ready at all times. Again, I ask, will we be ready for Christ's return? Matthew chapter 22 speaks of another parable. This is something I had alluded to last time. The parable of the wedding feast in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 14. Referring to those who are being called, but they were not offered eternal salvation. Now, God has in mind from the very beginning who he has chosen. But I want to refer to Revelation chapter 19. And in verse 5, Revelation 19 and verse 5 through 9, see, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard a voice, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters and as a sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, as all those who are worthy of the first resurrection, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, of course, we hope to be in that category. He said to me, verse 9, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. It is very important to continually keep God's commandments, and we have to remain strong. At the end time, it will become increasingly difficult to remain faithful and obedient, because people that we are in close contact with, let's say in the world, right, will betray us. They will hate us for what we believe in. But this could be close friends. It could even be family. I mean, we have been through that as well. We have lost friends. We have lost family over our beliefs. And it will feel as if we are alone. But we're not alone. This has happened to a lot of us to a certain extent. And something I kept on stressing over and over again in this message, having to be ready at all times. Because this is also a commitment. It's a commitment to be ready, spiritually speaking. Notice Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 40. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. You yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will not gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. Verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. So it's not just a one-time thing. I mean, it's constantly being ready. But know this, verse 39, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Revelation 3. Again, how all of this fits, all goes together. We see this Laodicean era, this Laodicean attitude. Here, of course, if we would have known the thief was coming, we'd be ready. But then we know, oh, he's not going to come now, so we can just sit back and relax. But that's not what God is saying here. Verse 40, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We know that the time is near. And we have to be prepared. We start in Revelation, we'll end in Revelation. Revelation 22 and verse 7. Now, since the Bible ends this way, the more of a reason why we should really heed and really understand what is coming and what the Bible is saying here, especially in this last chapter. So Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly or soon. And you don't expect it. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, says it again. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So it is a constant work that we're doing. It's not just believing. It's more, obviously, there's a lot more involved. I believe that we need to keep the Sabbath and the holy days, what is coming up. But how are we doing this? What kind of work are we putting into? How are we observing the Sabbath day? How are we observing the holy days that God has commanded? It's one thing that we read it and know about it. It's another that we're actually doing it. At verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who says, or who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. A dedication, a commitment to always be ready, to always prepare, who desires this knowledge. That is a key. And we have to make ourselves spiritually strong. And we have to observe what is going on in this world, making sure that we do not fail and fall right back into the world, as so many in the church have already done. And this is something we go through every single year during the holy days. Why during the holy days? Why is it a lot of times right before the Passover, right before the feast, that people drift away, fall back, this is too much for them? You know, Satan is, like I said, Satan is clever. He knows how to attack. He knows how to get to each and every one's weakness. Now, we have just a few weeks left before we take the Passover, before we ask our merciful Father to forgive us our sins that we have committed throughout the year. And yes, we do. We all sin. It's something that is human, but recognizing our mistakes is also the key, asking God for forgiveness. And once again, at that time, having that fresh start to try to live a sinless life, as difficult and seemingly impossible it is, but it is not impossible to God, because he is stronger than Satan. And so should we, longing for that perfect and wonderful time ahead of us, a taste of what God's kingdom is all about, what all these holy days, what everything that God has commanded for us to keep, what this all signifies, what all symbolizes. Are we preparing ourselves for this right now and what the future holds? Many people will not be ready for Christ's return, but we have the advantage right now because of what we already know. So will we be ready when that time comes.